good evening, and welcome. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Another big night of radio irreverence about to commence from the Allstate Showcase Studio on a bustling Michigan Avenue with another glorious day in Chicago. Oh, the weather is beautiful, and the sun is shining, and then tonight it'll rain, and then it's going to get hot. And if you complain about the heat in the second week of June, we all have the right to smack you on the back of the head. That's how it goes. So on Friday, if you hear somebody go, "It's so hot," or on Saturday, it's supposed to get up to 90 with the humidity, "It's so hot," then you thwap right in the back of the head where you're, you know, don't do a lot of damage, but just remind people to shut up. Because in January and February, when we were all complaining about how cold it was, we longed for days when it would be 90. I know I'm getting ahead of myself weather-wise, but I like to lay down the law early. We have a great show planned, and it is always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200 is the number. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you call in, and when you do, you'll be talking to Cody. I don't know if it's June 5th or 6th, Goff. He is the executive producer of the big broadcast. So if you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. You can also keep up with us on social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. We've already gotten a number of texts and a number of Facebook mentions because the whiteboard, if you don't know about the whiteboard, you should be reading the whiteboard every week because it tells you exactly what is going to be on the program if this program were done in another dimension. Now, it's a suggestion because a lot of times, let's be honest, we are always prepping. We are always trying to find out what will be the most fascinating content for this program. And so we use the whiteboard as a guide. And today, the whiteboard was posted with the wrong date. The whiteboard has the date of June 6th, and today is June 5th, I found out. Cody alleges that he asked me, but I don't listen to him unless we're here. In this room, I don't really listen to him, so I don't know. I'm going to go with that we did it on purpose to see if people were paying attention.
And see, normally I'm the one that doesn't listen to you.
I'm sorry, what?
See?
Ha-ha.
It's a weird, bizarro day.
It is. All right. Let's pull the curtain back because we better set the table on this because I have a feeling that what's been happening in the last 10 minutes is going to continue to happen. So the whiteboard was posted with the wrong date. People have let us know. What else is that? You thought you had left all the things that you usually bring me down to read upstairs, so you ran back upstairs only to realize that you had them down here at all the time.
I had brought all the copy down. It was on the chair next to me, and I go, "Brian, I forgot all the copy upstairs."
Yeah, and it was, oh, so he ran up, and I don't know. There were a couple things that I've done, and now I can't even remember those, but there was total discombobulation just getting this show on the air. So be grateful we're even here. I'm kidding. Thank your lucky stars that we're not in your home doing work because your sink would be shooting up like a fountain and your air conditioner would be blowing flames like a dragon. It would just be horrifying.
That'd be cool.
You never.
I'd pay for that.
Really?
I mean,
if your air conditioner were blowing out flames like a dragon.
Okay, it'd be hot, but it'd still be cool.
I don't want it to be hot. You know, it's going to be really hot next weekend. Oh, it's so hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
It's so hot.
Oh, I just had the heat on. Now I have the air conditioning on. My life is so hard.
I tell people, Karen is back. Karen will be back after 8 o'clock to answer your legal questions, so have no fear. I know last week you were all panicked because there was no legal counsel for you. I did my best, Cody. People did not want my legal counsel.
Really?
I don't understand why. Usually I'm able to dispense some sort of common sense justice. Street justice, I like to call it. But nobody, no takers last week.
Well, if your advice was as good as the date you gave me for the whiteboard, then...
Listen, you... First of all, you have access to a calendar at all times. You have your phone.
I have two phones.
You have two phones, which means two calendars. Plus, you have a computer right in front of you that has the date on the bottom.
I wasn't
right
logged
under
in.
The time.
I wasn't logged in.
Okay. I was trying to read stories for the show. I don't know what day it is. It's Sunday. All I know is it's Sunday. And the only thing I worry about on Sunday is 6 o'clock because that's when I have to start. So what date it is doesn't, you know, I can't be bogged down with that. That's minutia that I don't look at. I'm a big picture guy.
I think the devil made us do it.
Wow.
Because I put 6/6/16 instead of 6/5/16. You know, this is, listen, 10 years ago tomorrow was 6/6/6. I am technically right. Someone bet Roger backed me
6606.
Up. 6606. I'm not backing you up for anything. I'm going to get run over on this thing.
Roger, forget probably that. Probably best. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
I am.
We're going to get into this after 7 o'clock. Fox Films, the Fox studio, has apologized for something that I think they had no reason to apologize for. I'm sure it will anger many people. It obviously angered one actress who hasn't had a movie in a long time, and she's getting a lot of PR this week. And it, I don't know. So we'll get into that, too, and we're going to... But after 6:30, we're going to meet a couple people who are participating in a great fundraiser for a... to find a cure for a disease that hits close to home for many of people on this show. So we will talk to them as well. I am still beat. Yesterday, I spent 3 hours with my nieces, who are 4, 3, and going to be 2 next week. I love them immensely. But I forget sometimes how much energy it takes to wrangle toddlers, you know, and the 4-year-old is, they're all very smart, you know, and they all have very distinct personalities, and trying to balance all of that. And their parents were around too. My brother and sister-in-law were there and my wife, but it was just like, it was so much fun and so frantic. And then it was done because we went out for pizza and here's it. So we go out to Pete for pizza, which is their thing every Saturday night. Which is a great, you know, a lot of families have that where, you know, it's like Saturday night is pizza night or Wednesday night is meatloaf night or whatever it is. Or Thursday night is the night we all sit and watch dad get hammered. That's a horrible night. But some families have those kind of nights, you know. We don't know. But so they usually go out for pizza on Saturday night and we had gone over because I hadn't seen them in a while and we wanted to visit. So we're out there and we're on the swing set. And you know, Roger, how old are your granddaughters? They're little, right?
7 and 6,
okay.
I believe, yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe they've outgrown this a little, but maybe not. They live, my brother and sister-in-law live out in the western suburbs, and yesterday there was a big parade festival kind of deal in their town. And, you know, as parades are wont to do, they throw a lot of candy, and they throw all kinds of things. Well, for some reason, they're throwing Band-Aids.
What?
To the kids. Well, they got a lot of candy, which explains some of the, you know, hyper behavior, because those kids were jacked up on candy. I walked in, and it was like just
hanging from the chandeliers.
Yes. Running. Uncle Brian. I was like, oh, this is great. So my 4-year-old niece decides she wants me to come out and push them on the swings, which is, that's cool. I can do that. But she grabs from her bag, she grabs a red Band-Aid that Walgreens had been throwing off their float at this thing. I brought this Band-Aid just in case I get hurt. Now, she'd been showing me the Band-Aids in her jacked-up sugar frenzy for about an hour. So I knew she was fascinated by these Band-Aids. And somehow I knew when she said, I brought this out just in case I get hurt, I'm like, this kid's getting hurt. At some point in our swing excursion, there will be an injury that is going to necessitate this Band-Aid. Either real or imagined, there will be some sort of injury.
Well, because she has to wear it. She can't just carry it with her.
She's got to wear this Band-Aid. So I'm pushing, my right hand is pushing my 4-year-old niece. Mm-hmm. My left hand is pushing my 3-year-old niece. Then the 4-year-old goes, I don't need help. So she starts doing that, making me nervous. Yeah, but she's holding on. She's swinging to where she's almost upside down and all of this. And I'm like, And my brother comes out on the porch and says, listen, number one can do this. And number two, though, you have to watch because she forgets to hold on. And if she tries to go high, she's going to fall off and break her head. And I'm like, terrific. That's great. So I need that pressure. So now I'm really watching. And I'll tell you what happens next on the other side. It's a classic tease here on WGN. Even when you can't be there, they are at Chicago Tribune Sports Plus. And it's got more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Brian Noonan, WGN, you know all of that. So when we last left, I'm in the backyard, I'm pushing my nieces on the swing. The 4-year-old has brought out a Band-Aid, quote-unquote, just in case she gets hurt. Because she's got, now this bag of swag that she brought home from the parade is filled with nothing but candy and Band-Aids. Because they must know, there must be some collusion between the people in this parade that know if we get kids jacked up enough on sugar, there's a good chance they're going to run into something. They're going to slam their heads into walls. They're going to fall down. They're going to be tripping out on pixie sticks. So we have to give them some Band-Aids. And little kids love Band-Aids. That's why if you've ever had a little kid and you've had like the character Band-Aids, whether it's a princess Band-Aid, Frozen, or you've got Cars or whatever, kids want to put those Band-Aids on. Well, this was just these Walgreens Band-Aids were just big red Band-Aids with the Walgreens W on them. So, yeah, it's still, for a kid, a bright red Band-Aid is good. So, anyway, now she's swinging and she's upside down. She does all this. And then she gets off the swing. And they have one of those big wooden sets with a slide and the swings and the whole nine yards. And she's standing next to one of the poles, the support poles, and running her finger up and down the edge. So imagine a 4x4, and she's just running her finger up and down there. And I look over, and I see there's part of it is kind of, you know, banged up a little bit because it's wood. It's been, and I'm like, oh, watch out. Oh, it's okay, Uncle Brian. I'm fine. Famous last words to Uncle Brian, because not 30 seconds later, I hear the most blood-curdling scream. You forget how loud little kids can scream and how dramatic everything is. And she's holding her hand and screaming, I have a bleedy! I have a bleedy! Uncle Brian, you have to help me! Oh, my finger is bleeding! I have a bleedy! And she's running around, and she immediately, she runs right for the Band-Aid. I need the Band-Aid! So I grab the other one, and I stop her from swinging, because I know how this is going to play out. I'm going to turn my back. The one who's on the swing is going to flip over, fall, crack her head open. Now I'm tending to a spinal fracture and a dismemberment, which is over here, because the way this four-year-old kid is screaming, I thought her finger was gone. I thought, you know, something had come down and lopped off up to the elbow, probably. She was now going to be, you know, an extra in a pirate movie at some point, because there was nothing left elbow down on this kid. I look, and I do see that across her index finger, there is a scratch about a half an inch long, and there is some... To say there's blood is an exaggeration, because it wasn't dripping blood, but you could, you know, it was a scratch. So, but she's screaming. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to stop her screaming before my brother comes out of the house and is like, see, see, I knew I couldn't leave you alone with my kids. I'm like, my daughter's alive. She's 19. I made it 19 years. I didn't kill anybody's kids. So I'm like, oh, it's going to be okay. I need the Band-Aid. I need the Band-Aid. I'm like, of course you need the Band-Aid. I knew this going in. So I get the Band-Aid out, and I'm like, hold on. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I put the Band-Aid on. And the minute I wrap the Band-Aid around, no tears. I said, see, you're going to be okay. Oh, okay, Uncle Brian. I thought I was going to be hurt forever. I was like, well, I don't think that was going to be the case. But is it okay now? Yes. Yes, it feels good. Do you see this Band-Aid? I'm like, yes, I see the Band-Aid. So what does she do? Roger, you know this.
Yeah.
Immediately runs in and tells everybody how she cut her finger open.
Right.
But thankefully, somebody texted, did you put Neosporin? No, I didn't have Neosporin. What am I traveling? I'm not a paramedic. There was no sliver. It was just a slit. Or maybe there was a sliver, and her parents can find out later. All I know is I had to stop the bleeding. And no, but I didn't spit on it. You know, to try to, because, you know, my spit has healing powers.
Of course.
Didn't do that. I just wrapped the Band-Aid around her, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was fine. She was fine.
See, now you have to bring a medical kit with you wherever you go.
There's no chance. So I walk in, and first thing my brother, because she's telling my brother, I'm like, oh, so Uncle Brian was not responsible enough to watch you. And I'm like, oh. I said, maybe your swing set is a little defective, because you go out and check the 4x4, and there's a little gouge out of there, and that's what she was doing, because she was running her finger up. So then she comes back out, and she starts doing it again. I'm like, keep your hands off the wood. So if you want to swing, which how many times have I said that, Cody? That is not good.
I don't keep track.
I know. I was like, just swing. That's fine. And then she wanted to go down. And then the rest of the day was fine, because once the Band-Aid was on, you would have forgotten. She forgot all about it.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no problem. But I knew, and every parent with little kids knows this. You could see this coming. That Band-Aid was getting used come hell or high water.
Of course.
And so even though she had to do injury to herself, she got to use that Band-Aid. So there you go. All right, on the other side of the news, a big event coming up to help stop a disease that hits close to home for a number of us here on the show. So we will be talking to people from the American Diabetes Association about their big Tour de Cure, which is coming up next week. We'll get into all of that on the other side of the news. But first, this on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You know that's the number, that's the phone, that's the text. Karen Conte will be here after 8 o'clock answering all your legal questions. 8.1 million people living in America don't know they have diabetes. Around the world, actually, don't know they have diabetes. Over 4,600 people in America will be diagnosed with diabetes today. 86 million Americans have pre-diabetes. It is a huge, huge problem. It affects people close to a number of us here on the show. And so I am happy to welcome into the studio some people who are helping try to stop diabetes. It is the 25th anniversary of the Tour de Cure, and the Chicagoland Tour de Cure is happening next Sunday, June 12th, at River's Edge Park. And I did, Cody, I did double-check that date. It is actually June 12th, unlike this Sunday when I had no idea what the date was. Next Sunday is June 12th. That's at River Edge Park in Aurora. You can still get all the details at diabetes.org. You can email them if you want to get a team in at chicagotour.com. And I welcome in two of the Red Riders, and we will explain what Red Riders are who are taking part. They are they're captains of their own teams. Christy Field is here, and Kevin Rothman is here. Thank you both for coming in. Welcome. I know Christy especially very nervous because she said this is her first time doing radio, so she's probably going to swear about 18 times, which is going to be very exciting. So welcome. Glad you guys are here. Who wants to explain to people who aren't familiar what a Red Rider is in the Tour de Cure?
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
So a Red Rider is someone that lives with diabetes, and on the day of the ride, the American Diabetes Association and everyone that participates, they like to celebrate the Red Riders, so we get like this special red jersey.
Cool.
Says I ride with diabetes, and type 1, type 2, all types of diabetes get to wear it on the day of the ride.
And because people hear about diabetes and they hear those terms thrown about, type 1 and type 2, and unless you're familiar with the disease, you don't really know the difference. Christy, can you tell people what the difference is between type 1 and type 2? Do you know?
So for me, I am a type 2, so I can speak to that probably a little bit better than the type 1. But I am considered more adult onset, so I was 25 when I was diagnosed, and I am insulin resistant, where my body does not respond well to insulin. So if I have too many carbs, too many sugars, my body does not break that down well.
All right, now let's talk, if you don't mind, we'll talk about that for a little bit, because now you're 25 years old. Up to that point, you didn't know you had this disease. What was it like when, as a 25-year-old adult, to get that news, and how did it change your life?
So for me, it was devastating, because I grew up, I was a dancer, so I was very active, very healthy. I had a good diet. Unfortunately, I was just blessed, or in this case, cursed, with some really bad genetics. And
okay.
So over the course of a year, I wasn't feeling well and had significant symptoms that, in hindsight, that's what it was. It was the diabetes coming through, but ended up landing in the hospital with Bell's palsy.
Oh,
didn't know what was wrong, you know, and I'm very sarcastic. So the doctor comes in and he's like, do you know you have some high blood sugar? And I'm like, chill, come on. I just had a Frappuccino, a little bit of Rice Krispie treat. Like, what is it, 200? And he's like, no, your levels are in the 600s. We don't know how you're walking around right now.
And where should it be?
For me, well, right now I am pregnant, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, yep. And so they want me, fasting sugars to be under 95.
And you were over 600.
Over 600, and I should have been in a coma.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, it's hereditary. And so, to me, it was a wake-up call a little bit to be right out of college, starting my life as an adult, to be diagnosed was devastating. And so, I kind of channeled that anger and that fear, and I really threw myself into living the healthiest lifestyle possible. And so, I'm fortunate in that I am able to be controlled with this diet and exercise right now.
Oh, good.
A little bit of oral medication here and there, but, I've kind of like taken the bull by the horns and gotten control of it the best I can.
Very nice. And how did you get involved with, Tour de cure.
I don't speak French. It's
very hard for me.
So I had gotten involved. I had recently met my husband, and he was an avid bike rider. And I'm like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's get out and get some exercise. I enjoyed riding. And so one of us, I can't remember who, we found the poster in a bike store. We're like, well, this would be fun. We can go out. We can do this together. It's for a good cause. And so what started as something that we would do for fun to raise awareness together, turned out to be, something that I developed such a passion for. And this, I think, is my fourth year now.
Great.
So, you know, I ride for my family. I ride for my friends with this disease. I ride for the greater community. And, it's so important to me to bring awareness, to this growing problem.
Very nice. Now, Christy said she's a type 2, but Kevin, you are a type 1 diabetic. Explain that for people who aren't sure what that is.
Sure. So type 1 and type 2 are a little different. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease where your immune system attacks these cells in your pancreas called beta islet cells, which like measure, monitor, and release a hormone called insulin into your bloodstream to regulate your blood sugar.
Right.
So when I was 3... I was diagnosed with type 1, which means that my body identified these beta islet cells in my pancreas as a foreign attacker and killed those cells. So your body does not regenerate these cells. So once they're gone, they're gone.
Okay. And so that's type 1 is for people that's you need to take the shot.
Correct.
Right? You're injecting yourself. At 3 years old and as a child, what is that like, you know, when you're out on the playground in first and second grade and all of a sudden you're different,
right?
You know, which is hard for a kid.
Right, a little different than the story that was told earlier. When I'm 3, like I knew nothing else, right? I think the biggest effect was on my parents because they wanted nothing else but to have their child live like a very normal life, right?
Yeah, and this throws a monkey wrench into that.
Exactly, like stabbing your kid with needles a couple of times a day, testing their blood sugar. You can be pretty uncooperative at that point.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky to have a very strong support system, right? Thanks to the efforts of like the American Diabetes Association, my school had a well-established 504 plan, so I was able to go to the nurse's office growing up without a problem. I was able to treat low blood sugars on my own in school without a problem. I was able to go outside and like carry my treatment medication with me without having to worry about, you know, not having those rights.
Right.
And that's a lot of what the Tour de Cure is for, is raising funds to continue to support, that sort of advocacy, both in the classrooms and in the workplace, and everywhere.
And do you see a lot of changes from when you were, say, in grade school to kids in grade school now? It's a whole different thing with the monitors and different things where it's not quite as, traumatic might be the wrong word, but life altering.
Right, yeah. So when I was diagnosed, I think it was 94, the process to test your blood sugar, I think all in took like 75 seconds. Insulin pumps were still very expensive, and continuous glucose monitors were, I didn't know what those were until like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, when I test my blood sugar, it takes all in 7 seconds, put it in, poke myself, 5 seconds in a reading. I have an insulin pump that is like smaller than all cell phones.
Which is, it looks like an old school pager.
Exactly. I've gotten that a lot.
Hey, Mr. 1972, how's your pager going?
Right, exactly. I tell people I'm on call for the night shift at the hospital. and then I also have this, this continuous glucose monitor, right?
Okay.
And this is the most amazing advancement I've experienced since being diagnosed. Basically, I know the listeners can't see, but I have this thing attached to my arm.
Like a little patch kind of deal?
Yeah, exactly. There's like a little Lego piece connected to the end of like a sensor, and that sends like a radio frequency to this thing. It can tell me real time where my blood sugar's trending. I'm a little excited being on this show right now, so my blood sugar's rising a little bit. But
take a deep breath. Relax.
Yeah, exactly.
We're okay.
I promise I'm okay.
Well, did it take a while to get used to that? Because I've talked to some people with diabetes who were like, I don't want to wear a monitor. I don't want something attached to me all the time, and they'd rather stay the old school way where it's you're guessing and you're monitoring, but there's still that chance where you know, people bottom out or they or right. their blood sugar shoots way up. Was it a big transition to start wearing a monitor all the time?
So this is actually my second go at it. My first go at it was when I was 22 years old and I was in college. And I couldn't do it. I was sick of it. It was falling out a lot. It was painful. It wasn't easy to read. I thought it wasn't easy to read. I didn't really know the most appropriate way to use it. And I just got kind of frustrated. So I think when I got it back in September, I got really good insurance, so it was very affordable. It's not inexpensive. It can be a little pricey, but fortunately I was covered under really good insurance. So in the right state of mind, you know, I'm like an adult now, I work. It was a lot easier to make that adjustment because the information that it can read back to me has been so helpful in preventing high blood sugars, so I can stay focused at work longer, preventing low blood sugars, so I don't have to, like, you know, step out and treat it. These are data points that I've never seen before in my life, so it's been really cool to adjust my lifestyle knowing exactly what my blood sugar is doing.
And for, let me ask you both, because people throw this term around a lot, oh, my blood sugar's low, and it's usually they're just, you know, they're hungry.
Right.
Because this is it's a serious thing when your blood sugar either goes very high, like Chrissy, you were saying yours was over 600, and Kevin, you talk about bottoming. Explain to people who don't have diabetes or know someone who has diabetes what that's like, because most of us, our insulin kind of regulates that, and yeah, you might get hungry or something, but it's a whole different thing for somebody who's got diabetes.
Yeah, so for me, now that I am more controlled, I have more issues with low blood sugars. So for me, I mean, we all laugh at the term hangry.
Yeah.
But truly, I mean, I get hangry. And I it usually starts out with me getting pretty crabby pretty quickly. And then for me, I usually get the dizzy sets in. If it goes far enough, sometimes I get blurred vision and I start to slur my speech. Okay. Usually I can catch it quick enough where I can pop a glucose tablet or two and catch it. But it can be very serious because if it does get too far, you can pass out. And that has happened to me on a couple occasions. Yeah. And it can be very serious and very scary.
And Kevin, when blood sugar goes too high, what is that like?
It's pretty crummy as well. Some things that happened, everyone's different, right? What I notice with myself when my blood sugar goes high is my vision blurs. I get very thirsty. It's almost as if someone put like snow pane or like the shower glass like in front of my eyes. I can't really think. I can't really see well. And then a lot of times you can get like nauseous depending on how long your blood sugar has been high, and like that's a result of developing ketones. That might be a little bit more in depth than the average listener might know what's going on, but there have been a lot of times where I, you know, dry heaving, just feeling very, very, very uncomfortable, to put it the best way.
But with the monitor and the other what was the
insulin pump?
The insulin pump that kind of levels everything off, right?
Yeah, I'm able to treat both highs and lows before they happen, because although that I might not be to the button where my blood sugar is, it takes a reading every 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it graphs where that reading is. So as long as, you know, I check myself periodically and know where I'm at, I can see if it's trending upwards, then I need to take care of that before it becomes an issue. And likewise, when it's
starting to go down,
treat it with glucose tabs as well.
Christy Field and Kevin Rothman are with me. They are both Red Riders in next week's Tour de Cure. The Chicagoland Tour de Cure is happening next Sunday at River Edge Park in Aurora. It's only $30 to get in. You've got a fundraising minimum, but you should be able to do that. You can have teams. We'll find out more about the ride, how Kevin got involved, because he's got a big team going on a corporate level. Christy's got a personal team going. So there's a lot to do. We'll talk more about the ride. And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200. You can get all the information if you go to diabetes.org. So we'll talk more with these guys on the other side. It's 720 WGN. All right. We are talking to Christy Field and Kevin Rothman. They are both red shirt riders, Red Riders, who are participating in the 25th annual Chicagoland Tour de Cure. So far, since 1991, Tour de Cure riders have raised over $250 million to help stop diabetes. Last year, 1,400 riders raised $700,000 in the Chicagoland Tour de Cure. Not too shabby. These guys are both heads of teams that are trying to raise a lot of funds. If you want to get involved in the Tour de Cure, which is happening next Sunday at River Edge Park in Aurora, you can go to diabetes.org or you can email them at chicagotour@diabetes.org. You can register online up until Thursday night, but if you're lazy or procrastinating or whatever your excuse is and you're like, oh, it's Sunday, I did not register, can I still ride? Yes. Go to River Edge Park on Sunday. You can register that morning, and you can still ride. And you guys, explain, because this is not a race. People are like, well, I don't ride real fast. I don't have the spandex shorts or the, you know, the helmets. I don't have water bottles. Can I just ride leisurely, Christy?
Yes, you can definitely ride leisurely. There's a series of different lengths of rides. So there's as short as a 10-mile ride up to a 100-mile ride. So I'm not somebody who can ride 100 miles. I don't get out there with my spandex. Do have my water bottle and my helmet.
There you go. Those are great.
My team, we ride either the 10 or the 20-mile ride.
Okay.
It's great for family, any levels, kids. It's leisurely. It's fun. It's meant to be a fun activity versus, you know, a race or a competitive activity.
So you said you have a you ride for your family and friends. How did the first team come about when you decided to do this? You explained getting involved with your husband.
Yep.
How'd you recruit your team?
So I think probably my easiest recruit was my mom because my brother is also diabetic. He's also type 2. And so I told her that I was interested, and we had done this 1 year, and I got her to come out. And
nice.
She was, you know, there not only to support us, but, you know, for physical activity as well. And so as the years have gone on, we've pulled some friends in, and, you know, the last few years it's been at the Two Brothers Roundhouse, so I bribe them with, hey, there's beer at the end.
Very nice.
We can have a couple drinks afterwards. And I think we're a pretty fun group. We like to have fun. We bring along our speakers and our music, and we just really make a fun day out of it. So it's not really a difficult sell.
And it's a great day for everybody. It's not just about the ride. There's all kinds of things when it wraps up. There's a new location at River Edge Park. There's food, sponsor giveaways, entertainment, kids' activities, and more when the ride is over. But everybody's not a family team. Now, Kevin, you captain a corporate team, correct?
Yes, I'm one of the captains for the PwC Chicago team.
And how did that all come about?
It's actually a really interesting story. So last summer, I got into cycling right before I started work, and I was wondering, I know that cycling is large in the diabetes community. There's a professional type 1 team that races on the Pro Continental Circuit, and they're legit, right? They're a legit professional team. So I was like, all right, well, you know, let's see if there's any, like, local rides I can get involved with. So I went on a backpacking trip in Europe, came back, and found out that I had just missed a Chicagoland American Diabetes Association ride by 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, well, let's see what's going on here. And I saw that PwC Chicago was a corporate sponsor. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be working for them, like, come, like, 2 months from now. Like, I need to get involved somehow. So as soon as I started, I reached out to, like, the network within the firm to find out who was involved with that, to see if there's any way I could help out. And I actually got set up by let's go, Mallory Dalquist, I think is her last name. I had actually messaged her husband online because she was on the Steve Harvey Show showing off her diabetes toolkits.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, like, Mallory, hey. She actually set me up with the old Tour de Cure manager, and then she really put me in touch with all the people at PwC. And then from there, I've just been helping the team as much as I can.
Very nice. And so, and you're getting very involved because you're part of the planning committee. How did that come about?
The planning committee for...
Tour de Cure.
Oh, so actually, I think referring to the steering committee, the Young Professional Leadership Council steering. Yeah.
I see both things.
Okay,
here,
yeah, sure.
I've got all sorts of information on your bio.
Yeah. You know more about me than I do. Well, so I plan it within the firm, and like that, I got involved with the same way that I did help recruit. And I think my efforts, working with the American Diabetes Association, as well as having sort of advocates on my behalf within the firm to speak on what I've contributed to the team, I was reached out to by individuals from the American Diabetes Association to be on like a steering committee for what they're trying to start as like a young professional leadership council, like a junior board for the American Diabetes Association.
And with PWC being a corporate sponsor, was it a hard sell to get the team going, or were they already predisposed to say, hey, are there a lot of corporate teams?
So this is actually the third year that PWC has been a corporate sponsor. And the first year was a success, and then the second year was a tremendous success on top of that. And so there's a lot of momentum being built. So it's really nice when you've got friends in higher places at the firm that are able to be able to put a branding like to a ride, right? So it wasn't hard to really garner interest within the firm because it's a fun event. Like people have done it before. Word of mouth gets around. It's celebrated within the firm because it is a firm sponsored event.
Very nice. And you said you had something else you wanted to plug quick before we get out of here.
Sure. Yeah. So for all diabetics listening, or for family members of diabetics or loved ones of diabetics, there's a great online community where you can go and learn more about the disease, whether you have it or whether someone you care about has it. It's a subreddit called Diabetes, and you can go to it at www.reddit.com/r/diabetes. If you look up diabetes subreddit on Google, you'll find it.
All right, so go there and check it out. And if you want to get involved in the 2016 Chicagoland Tour de Cure, maybe we can raise more money than last year. Last year they raised over $700,000. Let's hope this year we can raise a little more to help stop diabetes. It is next Sunday, June 12th at River Edge Park, which is in Aurora. You can register online until Thursday night, but don't worry. If you miss that registration, you can show up Sunday morning. You can still register there. You can get all the information at diabetes.org. Again, my thanks to Christy Field and Kevin Rothman. Thanks, guys, for coming in. You did a great job, Christy. You didn't swear once, or at least we didn't hear you.
I tried.
That was fantastic. So get out there and support a great cause on a fun event. You can ride all different lengths. You don't have to race. You don't have to be a over-the-road rider. You can just go out and have a leisurely ride and have a really good time for a really good cause. All right, let's do this, and then it's news time on WGN. Noon on 720 WG in hour two of the big broadcast. Where did hour one go? It seemed like, poof, we started and it was all over. I will tell you that in an hour, Karen Conti will be here and she will be answering your legal questions. So if you have a legal question, if you are in a conundrum, make sure you get your calls in early, 312-981-7200. All right. First of all, I am going to preface this conversation by saying this. As a husband and a son, and the father of a daughter, and the friend of many women, I do not condone violence against women in any way, shape, or form. Now, that is the truth. That is the statement. I also enjoy movies where all sorts of carnage happens, whether in this galaxy or other galaxies. I don't know. I've mentioned that I am a fan of Marvel Comics. I am a fan of the X-Men movies. I don't know if anyone has seen X-Men Apocalypse. Roger, have you seen that? No, you're shaking your head.
Not yet. We just saw Civil War the other day.
You did finally. Did you enjoy it as much as I did?
Oh, God.
It was phenomenal.
I wrote that it was the best two-hour-long comic book I've read in a long time.
Civil War was great.
Yeah.
Cody, you saw Civil War, right?
Civil War was phenomenal.
Have you seen X-Men Apocalypse?
I did. I saw it last weekend when I was skipping our show.
Oh, is that why you didn't come to the show?
Of course.
I was busy going to the cinema.
No, I saw it the day before I skipped the show.
I was going to say, that's like a two-and-a-half-hour commitment. You couldn't have fitted in somewhere other than between 6 and 9 on Sunday.
I mean, I was in Minneapolis.
Well, then that's good. All right, so here's the deal. X-Men Apocalypse, a much-hyped new installment of the X-Men film franchise. I've enjoyed some of them. Some of them have confused me. I was never a huge X-Men fan. But if you've seen the poster, it's all around the world. The poster for the film was this creature Apocalypse, who's an ancient mutant god. Am I correct, Cody? He is coming to destroy mankind to basically start the planet over from scratch. He's going to clean the slate. The only people that stand in his way are the X-Men. They are going to stop him. They are also mutants.
Pretty much.
One of the most recognizable mutants is Mystique, who is a shapeshifter. she turns blue. She's got gold eyes. That's how she really looks.
Well, her skin's blue.
Her skin is blue and scaly. She was played in the original movies by Rebecca Romijn, who very, very attractive.
I just watched the original earlier this morning.
Which is a good film.
Yeah, yeah.
She's played now by Jennifer Lawrence, a very talented actress. But...
And beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Very talented and beautiful. Sure. I just didn't want it. I didn't want it, you know.
It's not that you didn't need to say that right. She was. This and has to do with something else.
Point is, yeah. Apocalypse in the poster is holding Mystique by the throat at arm's length. Mm-hmm. He's obviously choking her. She looks in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of tells you what this movie is going to be. It's the X-Men battling some rock guy, and not a rock and roller, but some guy who looks like he's made of stone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be carnage.
And that scene was also in some of the trailers.
Right, because it's part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that does not sit well with some people. They're saying that this scene glorifies violence against women, and it is sexist, and it doesn't really promote the movie. It's out of context. And I thought, maybe I should investigate this more. I hope Fox Studios stands behind their decision to use this in marketing, because it is a mutant battling a mutant in a film that is about nothing but violence and destruction and world dominance. And we've got to, you know, this is how they're going to sell it. I don't see it as a guy choking a woman. Now, if I saw that on a poster of people, just let's say it's a regular crime story, one of those Patterson movies, like Kiss the Girls or something, where Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd, and there's actual crimes against women as part of the story. If I saw that depicted, that would bother me. Again, I would understand that it's part of the movie. Well, Rose McGowan, does anybody recall the name Rose McGowan?
Mm-mm.
I have literally no idea who that is.
All right, she's an actress. She used to be a much more famous actress.
What was she in?
She was in the series Charmed, the TV series, where she played a witch sister with Alyssa Milano.
Oh, real famous.
The Three Witches.
She was in Planet
WB or something.
Yeah, she was in Planet Terror, one of the Quentin Tarantino movies where her leg was a machine gun. So she's and in the poster for that, she's in like a miniskirt with her prosthetic leg as a machine gun. She's wearing a bikini top. So that, I guess, is okay. That kind of, because that's a woman who is perpetrating violence rather than being the victim of violence, but she's actually a woman. She's not a blue mutant woman. So she sends off a screed the other day, and I'll read you a little. It was a Facebook post, and it goes on and on, but I'll give you part of it. Let's see. There is a major problem when the men and women of 20th Century Fox think casual violence against women is the way to market a film. Again, I don't see this as casual violence. The entire movie is violence, and it's violence perpetrated by mutants against mutants. There is no context in the ad, just a woman getting strangled. No, there's a blue creature being strangled by a rock. Goodness.
Take a deep breath.
I just can't believe it.
All right.
The fact that no one flagged this is offensive and frankly stupid. No, Rose, I think those adjectives may describe something else. The geniuses behind this, and I use the term lightly, need to take a long, hard look at the mirror and see how they are contributing to society. They're making an X-Men movie. Imagine, now this is where she goes way off the reservation. And I think these analogies are more harmful than any poster. But I'm sure there are people who agree with this. Imagine if it were a black man being strangled by a white man, or a gay man being strangled by a hetero. The outcry would be enormous. Yes.
Really?
On a movie poster? Probably. In real life, it should. I mean, if those things are actually happening. But again, we're talking about Hollywood and movie marketing. And yes, there's some images. What was the John Grisham one with Matthew McConaughey? It was one of the courtroom dramas. Not a Time to Kill. Maybe it was. But anyway, Samuel Jackson, his daughter, the whole closing argument was about how his daughter had been killed by these two white guys. And then Samuel Jackson killed the white guys in court. Anyway, those images to move as a for the poster would be horrifying.
What about in the context of superheroes? What if it's Wesley Snipes, Blade,
yes,
being choked by a white vampire? Is that offensive, or is it a superhero being fighting his nemesis?
It's a comic book movie.
This is, I agree. Humans, this is totally different. But when it comes to superheroes, if a superhero is being choked by a villain, I don't care what color they are, or race, or gender,
sex, or
anything. No. It's a superhero and a supervillain. That is the point of superheroes and supervillains.
They
fight
each other.
One another.
To the death.
Relax.
Right. I understand. No, listen, I'm with you.
You made me worked up.
I'm getting everybody worked up, except Rose McGowan, who is already worked up. So let's right this wrong, 20th Century Fox. And this is where, do I smell? I do. An agenda. Since you can't manage to put any women directors on your slate for the next 2 years, how about you at least replace your ad? So it seems to me that perhaps Rose McGowan has been passed over for, I don't know, a project or two, may have a little bitterness, may be seeing her ship in her 15 minutes fading into the horizon. Then she continued, and here, this is why I love the internet, because you can type anything and nobody can fact check you. I'll close with a text my friend sent, a conversation with his daughter. It follows, quote, my daughter and I were just having a deep discussion on the brutality of that hideous X-Men poster yesterday. Her words, Dad, why is that monster man committing violence against a woman? This from a 9-year-old. If she can see it, why can't Fox? One, probably because it's made up in your mind. And two, because no 9-year-old speaks like that. I don't care what 9-year-old you think you have. Well, so Rose McGowan is all up in arms. Then a blogger in New York picks up the same torch and starts blogging about how this is glorifying violence against women. And she tweets a picture of the poster above a subway stop and says, this violence in my kid's face is not okay. But I'm wondering if you will take your kid to see this X-Men movie. Where you will see Apocalypse choke not only, Mystique. But Mystique will probably choke somebody, and Magneto will blow somebody up, and Apocalypse's villainous friends, one of whom Olivia Munn in real life is dating your boy Aaron Rodgers. That's right, Aaron Rodgers gets a supervillain to date him. How great is that?
Pretty cool.
That is very cool. But that's not what we're talking about. So then experts come out of the woodwork, quote, unquote. This is where the argument gets bad, because there are genuine problems with violence against women. This is a horrible, horrible, real thing. But when you take it into the realm of cartoon characters, basically, or superheroes or super mutants fighting each other, you dilute the real problem. The director of gender violence and rights for the International Center for Research on Women said, I understand that some might not see this as an issue because it is a film about violence with male and female characters who are warriors and fighting each other as equal. Yeah. Okay. So? But she continues. Even though the image depicts a fictitious scene in a fantasy film and features characters who are mutants, it can still have an effect on anyone who sees it. Yes. They'll go, oh no, Mystique is getting crushed. That's the effect. She says, here's the thing. Where do we draw the line? They morph into humans, and most of their interactions are similar to what humans would have while mutants. Folks, you are looking for something to whine about. Well, what did Fox do? I'll tell you on the other side. 312-981-7200, though. Do you think this poster is glorifying casual violence against women? Or are people just way, way overreacting and being a touch too sensitive? Talk to you on the other side. It's WGN. This week, Brittany and Elliot are pitting thin versus thin and deep versus deep. Tune in for an epic pizza battle. Chicago's best, Sunday nights at 10 on WGN-TV. Now, what if they made these pizzas into people and one pizza was choking another pizza on a billboard for Chicago's best TV? Would there be an uproar like there is because of the perceived notion that the X-Men Apocalypse billboard is glorifying casual violence against women? Well, that's what Rose McGowan, some bloggers, and some other people are saying, that, my goodness, no, we cannot have this billboard. It's got to come down. Even though this is a fantasy film about mutants battling other mutants for world domination. And I'm guessing now, Cody, you've seen it, so you, without a spoiler, because the tagline on the poster is X-Men Apocalypse, only the strong will survive. I'm guessing good guys and bad guys of both sexes and all mutant conglomerations die. Would that be fair to say?
Neither confirm nor deny that they die, but everyone gets hurt and beat. It's a fighting. It's a movie about a bunch of good guy superheroes fighting a bunch of bad guy superheroes. So they hate each other.
Supervillains. Can't be a bad guy superhero.
What did I say? Oh, bad guy supervillains. So there, a lot of people hate each other.
Right.
They throw things at each other. They choke each other. They shoot each other with laser beams and things.
Really?
Lots of things.
Cyclops blows it right out of his eye.
Cyclops blows things up. Jean Grey blows things up.
Sure. The Scarlet Witch.
And believe it or not,
what?
Psylocke is a bad guy. Supervillain.
Supervillain.
So believe it or not, superheroes and supervillains are both male and female.
And the males and females battle each other. They don't square off just female versus female or male versus male. It's every mutant for themselves.
No, they do. Apocalypse says, "Listen, I am an evil ancient mutant, but I will only fight other males."
I know. I choked Mystique on the poster. But I will only fight other males in the film.
That was a mistake. I realized that was unacceptable. I am hiring women supervillains to fight women.
Did Apocalypse suddenly start working for Fox? Because that's how quickly Fox, 20th Century Fox, caved.
Oh, no.
They went, oops. Even though that image, again, you've seen the billboards. Yes, Fox came out and said, "Once we realized how insensitive it was, we quickly took steps to remove those materials. We apologized for our actions and never would condone violence against women." They said in part of their statement, "In our enthusiasm to show the villainy of the character Apocalypse, we didn't immediately recognize the upsetting connotation of this image in print form." Yeah, but you have it in film form. Anybody who wants to see the movie. Now, you could argue, I have to want to see the movie to walk in there to the theater. If I'm driving down the street, a billboard is there, I don't really have to search it out. It's in my face. But if you don't know the X-Men, is it going to make a difference? And are you really believing that this is glorifying casual violence against women? 312-981-7200. Susan wants to weigh in. She's in Chicago. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. But if you're going to be mad about this, how come no one was mad about the child abuse in the Harry Potter movies?
Well, because the posters didn't show that kind of thing. The posters didn't show him living under the stairs.
There was one where Voldemort was pointing a wand at him and trying to kill him, and I'm pretty sure there was something in there somewhere.
Well, those are,
if you're gonna get mad about this, you might as well get mad about that.
Two males fighting against each other. So I'm just taking it to the next thing, Susan. I understand exactly what you're talking about. And people got mad about the content of the Harry Potter movies because they were saying it was glorifying the dark arts and things like that. But you're a woman. I'm guessing does this poster offend you? Does it make you think, Fox, 20th Century Fox is condoning violence against women when you see a stone creature holding a blue creature by the neck?
No, absolutely not. It's someone's looking for something to complain about.
All right. Susan, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Did you say supervillain or superdelegate, Cody? Somebody wants to know on the text line. Soon there'll be superheroes and supervillains battling superdelegates, and it's going to be fun.
But only male superdelegates.
Well, sure, and then the female superdelegates will battle the female superheroes or supervillains or whoever they want to battle, and the male superdelegates will only do that.
Don't you think that this criticism of this billboard is implicitly saying women aren't strong enough to be superheroes?
Right.
I think that's offensive.
Sure, because we see this, and we don't know if Mystique is going to, we don't know what happens next. It says only the strong will survive. Well, who will it be? From the poster, you may infer that it would be Apocalypse, but I'm going to put my money that there's a good chance that Mystique is going to hold her own in this battle.
Probably safe money.
Safe money?
Probably safe money.
But again, if I'm Rose McGowan and my career is slowed down, let's just say, coming out against Rose McGowan.
Again, bring her in. I'll throw down with her.
I haven't seen her in anything since Charmed, and I never watched Charmed. Mm. I did see her in that Quentin Tarantino movie, which I...
I've never heard of that Quentin Tarantino movie.
It was one of those where Planet Terror and Death... Death something where it was... He did the two Grindhouse movies.
The Grindhouse movies. All right.
And that was part of the Grindhouse thing. And it was okay. But again, she was playing up how sexy she is. And then had a machine gun on her leg, which I thought was kind of sexy. You know, she's lethal and beautiful. But now she can't get cast, so she's lethal, beautiful, and angry. And she's lashing out. And again, the fact that she brought up that 20th Century Fox doesn't have any female directors coming up leads me to believe that something doth stinketh in Rose McGowan's logic.
Can I also say one more thing about
you
this?
You can, I guess, but then you'll yell at me that we're late for the news, and I'll remind you that it's because you had to say one more thing.
We got a short break. We got a second.
Oh, is that right?
Jennifer Lawrence in this photo, in the picture they used for the billboard, is not in pain. Yes, his hands around her neck, but it's not like, you know, wide eyes, she's screaming, she's being strangled. Like, the pose is definitely a power pose, but he's not strangling or choking her. And I think there is a slight distinction. So,
Sure, but most of the time, if I'm holding someone up by the throat...
No, he's not holding her up by the throat. She's not, like, hovering.
Yeah, we don't see her feet. She may just be standing on the ground. But again, if I grab you by the throat, it's going to lead to nothing but good.
Yeah, and again, still...
Nothing good is going to happen once I grab you by the throat.
Still would not be okay if it were just humans. But as mutants,
right.
I think it would be one thing if he's got both hands, he's throttling her or something. But, I mean, this is a...
But again, they're fighting. They're at war for the very beings that inhabit this planet. They're fighting for man's survival.
They are. And women's.
And mutants. Everybody's survival. Because Apocalypse and his four horsemen of doom are coming.
They are.
They are. They're here. Is it worth going to see?
No.
All right. I'll wait till it comes on cable. And then I'll be offended. I'm going to be offended. I'm offended that I... You know what would really offend me? If I dropped $12 and it blew. That would offend me.
Yeah, well...
Not blue like Mystique's color. Because I'm not against that. B-L-E-W.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just... Sometimes we spell it out for the folks. Because you listen to only part of it. All right, we've got a lot to do in the final half hour, the next half hour before Karen gets in. First thing we're going to do is this. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions at 312-981-7200. Roger, you still there?
Yes, I am.
I know, I saw you, but I like to, I like to ask just in case you're dozing off.
Well, I was looking at the weather reports.
Well, good. Okay. That's what I wanted to ask you about, because if people tuned in late, they hear the words severe thunderstorm warning, mm-hmm. and they begin to panic.
Right.
That is in Wisconsin,
yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it is in southeastern Wisconsin right now. Very heavy storms
moving
through the area.
Kenosha, Racine area?
Right. Southern Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, southeastern Waukesha counties.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is moving south. Or actually, it's if you look at the radar, which is on our website, WGNradio.com.
Nice plug.
I learned from the master. It's a whole line of a strong front of storms that's already over Lake Michigan, but this is the tail end that has kind of turned back west. Instead of being a straight line, we've got this little tail at the bottom that's coming through Wisconsin and expected to come through. Oh, what is this?
You know what that means?
Storm watch.
Storm central. Earl. Storm center. Storm central.
Storm center.
Storm what?
Storm center.
Storm central. Storm center. Storm central.
Center.
Central.
Storm center.
Storm center.
Storm center.
Stormy Warren.
Storm center.
Storm center. Storm center.
Stormy weather.
Wait, let's not joke. People get mad when we joke, Cody.
Yeah.
There's no joking about the weather. So this, so far, no counties in Illinois at this point are under the severe thunderstorm warning.
But they're tracking the direction of this and the speed, and it is moving south, southeast. They are saying that the storms could hit far northern portions of Illinois up around Waukegan. The storm has not crossed the border yet, We're keeping a close eye on it, but the heaviest part of that storm front that's coming through southeastern Wisconsin right now, getting reports from WGN-TV that they tracked 80-mile-an-hour winds in the center of it.
Well, I'm looking at the radar, and anytime you see a lot of red, you know things are dicey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really dicey.
Not
so, up in Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin, be careful. We want everybody to be safe. I know a lot of people listening to us in that area. They're also listening to their local stations to make sure that everything is safe. But be careful, and we'll keep you updated so far. But again, just so people in Illinois are not starting to worry, right now everything good. There's no warnings or anything for any counties in Illinois.
No, we do have the marine warnings. Again, that's extra special that they have as much advance warning as possible to get the boats off the lake, make sure they're in dock, and that and they're out of harm's way should it continue further south.
Okay, but at this point we're good. Thank goodness. So Roger will keep watching, and we will of course always have Storm Central ready to go, where we are constantly on top of things, aren't we, Cody? Are we on top of things?
Nope.
Sure we are. Nope, we're not.
You were trying to get me to play it, weren't you?
Yeah, because I like to get us in trouble.
No, I was kidding. I'm always prepared. You know that after years.
Storm Central. Oh, Storm Central. Storms. They come to your house.
Storm Center.
Storm Center? That's what it is?
Yeah.
Do we have an official title for it?
Yep, Storm Center.
Storm Center?
That's been that for years.
It's not Storm Central.
No.
I like Storm Central
it's
better.
Sports Central.
No, that went away a long time ago.
Well, it went away, but that's why we called it Storm Center. But I guess now that the name's free, we could be Storm.
I want to be Storm Central.
Do you want to be Storm Central or Storm Central?
I want to be Storm Central.
Central.
Because I have, Roger, you remember, we've we've been Storm Central for years.
Yeah.
Decades
yeah,
even. That's, way
yeah.
too long.
Yeah. That's I'm going to have to get a new theme song if we're going to be Storm Central.
You got to get one with a lot of sound effects in it.
Yeah, I want to hear
thunder
wind whipping
and wind. Yeah.
Because somebody just tweeted, I've just seen this out my window in Milwaukee, and it's the scene in The Wizard of Oz where the Wicked Witch is riding her bike through the storm.
Wow.
Listen, if you're in those storms, be careful. I want you to be careful. If you're up in southeastern Wisconsin, watch yourself.
They are really heavy.
Yeah.
They're heading down further south, not too far from Kenosha now.
I hope the Greyhounds are all safe. Do they still have Greyhound racing?
Track?
Yeah, at Kenosha.
I can't remember.
I hope the Greyhound buses are safe.
I do not. No, that's not right. I do hope anybody who's taking Greyhound is safe.
Wow. Someone upstairs is writing a list right now.
Sure,
for
legal
everything here.
Listen, legal has me on speed dial, and I am constantly getting called on the carpet.
Wow.
Mostly because I piddled like a dog.
Red carpet, mind.
No, just the carpet. I just stand there and they go, you stand on that carpet. Again? Really? Still? Yes. Just stand there. What did you say about the Greyhound buses and the Wicked Witch of the West? I don't think they were connected. I don't think but
it's more of a shag rug, really.
You know, they need to update because the shag rug is very 70s. And I go in there and there's lava lamps. And the legal team is all sitting in those circled the chairs that look like they're spheres. But then part of them were scooped out and people are just sitting in these big balls.
Very futuristic.
Yeah, it was futuristic in 1957 when they decorated the legal offices. Now I go in there and I'm like, what is this, Space Mountain? I'm going back to Disneyland and it's all of a sudden, the house of the future. The house of the future. And there's also, there's a toaster. You're like, oh, and look at this contraption. We're going to put something in there and cook it in minutes. The future. And I was like, that's just a microwave. No, it's not. It's the future. All right, I don't think it is, but, the future is now, fellas.
We got just additional information. Our own Steve Grzanich is also keeping a trained weather eye on the storm, and he is saying that weather observers reported 63-mile-per-hour wind gusts near Eagle, Wisconsin. Tree branches are down in the area. So we're going to see some damage from this as it moves through southeastern Wisconsin. And, again, keeping you up to date best that we can.
And this is a warning for those kinds. This is not a watch. This is happening. So
this is happening right now. Mike Hamernick just tweeted out, severe thunderstorm damage forces Cedar Point to close. Park won't reopen until Tuesday. So this is a storm that went through Ohio earlier today. Cedar Point. Yeah, Cedar Point, Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes.
And I'm looking at pictures from there. There are power poles down across the highway, and many of the other power poles just being held up by the wires. They're bent over and snapped.
Well, and if you're in the, I'm looking, and, you know, the west coast of Michigan, the Traverse City, Cadillac,
right.
all the way
mm-hmm.
down, that's where the storms are heading.
Right. That's the front that is already out over Lake Michigan. They're heading that way.
And I'm no Tom Skilling, but I know they pick up strength over the water.
Mm-hmm. So. Pick up moisture and power, sure.
Sure, that's right. I'm dropping some meteorological knowledge.
I know.
You know what I don't do? I don't go on Craigslist and buy things. One reason is I might be sold a frozen mother. That's right. How did this happen? I'll tell you after this. Plus, why yoga can be very, very dangerous. How are those two teases, Cody? What do you think about that? And then, well, of course, we'll keep checking in if there's any more need for me to go up to the legal office of the future and see if I offend anybody else. All right, we'll do that all on the other side. It's WGN. All right, noon on 720 WGN. We are keeping an eye on the weather situation in southeast Wisconsin. We got a two updates. One, there's no more dog racing in Kenosha, so we don't have to worry about the greyhounds. That's good news. From a texter, let's see. Oh, here it is. From Lauren in Waukegan, she says, black clouds moving rapidly from Wisconsin south to Waukegan. Not raining yet, but temp just dropped. Clouds look yucky. Time to take the dogs for a quick walk. So Roger's right. It is heading southeast, so we will keep an eye on that as well. And as the evening progresses, you can get all the information you need, obviously, always right here at 720 WGN as we keep an eye on things. So, again, if you are in southeastern Wisconsin, it is rough times. And how long do they give an expiration date on those warnings, Roger?
8:15 is what the latest that we have. I'm looking at the latest National Weather Service warnings. Severe weather statement for it looks like it's been moved out of Milwaukee already.
Right.
That is for the area between Milwaukee and Racine, but then it's back to a severe thunderstorm warning for the Racine Kenosha area, and then, as you mentioned, across to Michigan and northwestern corner of Indiana could be impacted in about an hour or so. But it looks like the heaviest part's going to be going through Racine and Kenosha within, I'd say, about the next half hour.
All right,
so, again, high winds, a lot of rain. It's already doing some damage to trees and power lines. So, again, be careful out there.
And always stay tuned to Storm Central.
All right, am I supposed to be playing the music or not? Because last time you made me stop.
No, I made you stop. When I do Storm Central, you can play it all the time. When Roger's giving actual weather business,
I get it.
Because people don't turn to me for, well, they do, and we give them accurate weather information, but sometimes we play with the hype. All right, you've bought things off Craigslist before. I've bought and sold things on Craigslist before. Have you ever gotten something that was not quite what was described in the ad? Was there anything that you purchased and you went, oh, this isn't quite right? Now, you bought some giant TV, right? I remember you some story of you pushing a giant TV down the street.
Right, and I used to live my life on Craigslist.
Right.
I've
everything from TVs to the ladies.
TVs, I have not bought ladies there, but I have.
Thank goodness.
I got a couple giant TVs off of there.
All right. Anything disturbing when you opened your purchase? Did you ever get something home and there was a bonus in there?
I have not ever had a problem.
All right, well, here's why I ask. Because a North Carolina woman claims her neighbor sold her a used freezer that was packed with more than just ice inside. A Goldsboro woman found body parts inside the freezer, which when she finally opened it 3 weeks after buying it. All right, there's a lot in that sentence that I don't understand. One, you buy a used freezer. That part I understand. You know, people have those big chest freezers or a stand-up freezer. That's great. You can store meat or what have you. How do you not open it for 3 weeks? How do you buy it without even seeing if the door doesn't fall off the hinges? How does that happen? For 3 weeks, you've got this freezer sitting in your house, and you've never opened it? The woman told a local TV station she didn't immediately open it because that neighbor told her it was being used as a quote-unquote time capsule. Well, I can't buy your freezer. It's a time capsule. Man, I got to go down to North Carolina and start selling stuff. I would be a bazillionaire. They got some gullible folks down there. Listen, I'm going to sell you this car. Don't try to start it. Because it's actually right now being used by the government as a locating box for mutants. So I need you to just leave this car here. Start it in about 3 weeks. Those 3 weeks, I will have moved out of North Carolina. Find me somewhere else getting, putting the hustle on some yokels. That's what I'll be doing in a few weeks. The seller of the freezer allegedly told the woman it was part of a class project she was doing with her church Sunday school class, and that church officials would be by to pick up the freezer's contents. When church officials never came, the woman opened it and believed she discovered her neighbor's dead mom. Said, show me her frozen mother for $30. Now, did she plug the freezer in for those 3 weeks? Or did Mama start to thaw? Because once Mama thaws, Mama gonna be rank. How do you do something like that? The woman asked. Well, because you got some idiot who's going to buy a freezer and not open it for 3 weeks. Police confirmed to the TV station that human remains were, in fact, found inside the woman's home. She was just the sweetest lady. I mean, quiet, kept to herself, stayed at home. Just unbelievable how she could just stick her mom in a freezer. It's always the people you least suspect that will put their mom in a freezer. Right? It's not the people you go, man, that guy's going to put his mom in a freezer. I better get over there and make sure she's safe. It's always somebody, oh, they seem so close. Till he put her in the freezer and then sold the freezer for $30. The freezer seller reportedly skipped town right after the transaction. Shocker. Claiming she was actually headed to West Virginia to take care of her mother. West Virginia's got to be filled with more yokels to dupe. She could sell more appliances filled with body parts. That's a horrible story on so many levels. So many levels. I hope if it's true that she did kill her mom, that they get her. Oh, dog racing been out of Kenosha for 5 years. At least 5 years. All right. You know, I'm fascinated by bears. The wildlife ones, not the Chicago Bears. They interest me, but they don't fascinate me. I love bears. I'm also amazed by people who are able to so tune out their surroundings that they have no idea what's happening. Case in point. A woman in Tennessee has a story about a bear encounter, and it's getting a lot of traction online after she says a bear walked up behind her and licked her neck. Don't give me that look. I'm reading English.
No, I'm trying to comprehend how a bear can sneak up behind you.
Stealthy bear. It went into a belly crawl, like an army crawl. Nothing to see here. I'm just a bear belly crawling across the grass.
Now, was her hair pulled up?
Well, we'll find out. No, the bear did that romantic move where it put one hand around her from behind on her belly and then scooped her hair like, and then blew in her ear. Hot bear breath. Because nothing gets a woman randier than hot bear breath on her. According to Kristen Jones, she was visiting her parents' home in Lake James, Tennessee last week when she decided to do early morning yoga by the lake. That's your first mistake. Exercising. Your second mistake, doing it outside. She put in her earbuds and started listening to music on her phone. Wouldn't you think being out early morning by a lake would create a soundtrack that you wouldn't need to artificially enhance with your own music? You know, the chirping of the birds, the approaching of a bear. How about that? Oh, listen to the birds chirping. I hear the wind whistling through the trees. Hey, what's that? I don't know. Just a big clomping and a... I don't know if that's how a bear sounds as it's approaching you, but I'm guessing it does, especially when it, you know, puts its head on your shoulder and makes romantic overtures. I was sitting on the steps with my feet propped over the water when I felt a sniff on my right shoulder and a lick up my neck. Ugh. That's gross. She reached up to pet the animal, thinking it was a neighbor's dog, and discovered it was a bear. Said when she reached up, the bear got startled and backed up. Yeah, because the bear wanted to be the one who was making all the moves. He didn't want you... He had the situation well in control. He was not going to play.
Sounds like a terrible first date.
Oh, yeah, you've tried to lick a woman's neck on a first date before.
Several
she reached
times.
Up and then you panicked. Ah! Sorry, I was trying to sneak up on you. I saw you had earbuds in.
Usually they
I'm on the jogging trail at the park. Why would you think I wanted you to lick my neck? Well, I don't know.
They usually lick my neck first, actually.
The women do?
Yeah.
That is so non-erotic.
The dating world's weird these days.
Just a big... Like you're dating a cow.
You've been out of the game,
big
Brian.
Cows. I have been out of the game. Thank goodness.
This is how courtship works. Girls lick me on the neck.
Is that right?
That's how I met my girlfriend.
That's the game now? They lick you on the neck?
She walked up, licked me on the neck.
One, I've seen your girlfriend. Very attractive, but small, petite.
Yeah.
She would have had to have brought a stepladder to get up there to lick your neck. Or you would have fallen down as she was trying to revive you. That'd be the only way. People don't lick each other's neck. That is gross. Unless you're doing body shots in Mexico or some other tropical location. That's when you lick somebody.
Or New Orleans.
I've never licked anybody in New Orleans.
Well, yet.
You know, and I've been there for Mardi Gras. I've never licked anybody.
Have you seen people lick each other?
No, because it's so horrific.
Look harder. It'll happen.
Really?
You're not going to the right places.
I'm going to a lot of places. A lot of places with no licking signs up everywhere.
Not the right place or the wrong places. Depends on how you want to look at it.
Oh, boy. She knew something was off before she even turned around because the fur felt sharp and prickly, like my back hair. The bear trotted off when she stood up. I stumbled backwards into the water, and he ran up the hill. The entire thing happened so fast, she says, 60 seconds, and it was done. She immediately started taking photos of the bear, quote, in case something happened and people found my mauled body, end quote. Wow. Way to jack up the drama.
Did she take a selfie with it or just a picture of the bear?
Well, her timeline seems a little flawed because first she says she fell into the water, and then secondly, she immediately started taking pictures. I'm questioning it.
Waterproof case.
You think?
She had to have brought one to do yoga.
Again, why bring your phone to do yoga by the lake?
Yeah, maybe I used to do DDP yoga with the audio podcast. I'd go to the gym at work, and I'd have the podcast on my phone, listen to the audio,
to walk me
through the moves.
Again, that makes more sense because you're in a gym in your office building. If I'm out in nature, sitting by a lake, I would think that would be able to center me enough to do yoga.
No, but you need the audio for the yoga routine.
Oh, do you?
To walk you through, yeah.
She said she was listening to music.
Well, she might have been lying.
About the whole thing? About a bear licking you on the neck? She saw a couple neighbors come out to walk their dogs, warn them about the bear. A newsletter was sent out, thank God.
A newsletter?
The neighborhood newsletter was sent out.
Is that what?
It must be, well, they live around the lake. I'm sure there's some sort of neighborhood association.
Huh.
You know, sent out a newsletter saying that several other neighbors had also seen the bear. Despite being scared during the encounter, Jones said she won't let it change her habits when she visits. She still plans to do yoga and watch the sunrise over the lake and mountains and for going on hikes in the woods. That is wonderful. Again, all of those things would be great without earbuds, and you'd hear the bear approaching. Plus, you'd hear, because you know, if a bear is coming at you, and the bear has some sort of romantic interest, so much so that he would, in fact, want to lick you on the neck. I've been really trying. Oh, Yogi, what are you doing? I want your picnic basket. Delicious. On 720 WGN, and you know what that means. That means Karen Conti is here, and she is answering your legal questions at 312-981-7200. After a week of away recharging her legal batteries, Karen is back and ready to go. Good to see you.
How are you, Brian? I missed you.
Well, I missed you, too. I had to dish out legal advice. That did not go well.
That sounds like a disaster.
Well. It was a disaster. Thankfully, it was a holiday, and everybody I talked to was drunk, so they don't even remember that I gave them advice.
That's good. That's
that was
good.
Very good. So did you enjoy your time away? You got
yeah.
away for a few days?
Jerry and I took a road trip.
Where does Jerry go? He's tired, too.
He's tired, too. The road trips, I love road trips. Give me a road trip. Give me a cooler of Diet Coke and a road trip. And so we went down to Nashville.
Nashville's a great town.
Absolutely great town. And it was fun and exciting and lots of music and food and all that. And then stopped in Cincinnati just in time for the guerrilla warfare at the zoo.
Oh, man.
I know, Skyline Chili. No, we did not do the Skyline Chili. But it was nice. It was and through Louisville and all those places. Very, very nice.
Are you a country music fan?
Not really.
Okay.
But I don't mind going and listening to it when I'm there.
Okay.
Just because it's different. And the musicians there are fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the little junky bars, there are some really good talent there, all of them trying to become the next.
That's
right?
It. And so every, like you say, every bar, you could be seeing the next superstar and you don't even know it.
Right.
One of my favorite bars in the country is in Nashville, Tootsie's Orchid Lounge.
Yes, okay.
And, I mean, I've been going there for years and years, and that's where a lot of big names started, just in that tiny little stage when you walk in the front door at Tootsie's. You never know.
It's a town that everyone should see, even if you don't like country music, and so many recording artists had really made their name there, and we took a little tour, and there were, like, all these recording studios, all, like, Alabama and, you know, Elvis and all, Johnny Cash, of course, and all those people, and you just look at one to the next to the next to the next, and these are places where all the great hits were recorded.
Legendary stuff and Grand Ole Opry, which is still going on, and it's fun. Well, I'm glad you got away and recharge. It's night now. Be honest. Did you work while you were away?
Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit, enough to return phone calls and make sure everyone was taken care of. But I tried to just put it aside. Yeah. You know, it's hard to, like, not return emails, as we all know, because then you get there on Tuesday morning and it's a disaster.
15,000 emails.
But no, I did get a chance to just put it away.
Good. Very good. Well, a lot of legal things to get to. Let me ask you about one that we got a call, text on already. We've heard a lot about, politics aside, we've heard a lot about Donald Trump making derogatory comments about a judge who is looking at the Trump University case.
Right.
This judge was born in Indiana. He's of Mexican heritage, and Donald Trump had said he shouldn't be making these decisions because he's Mexican, and Donald Trump is trying to build a wall, or that's one of his campaign things, that he's going to build this wall. So, this guy's a federal judge, Gonzalo Curiella, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But somebody texted in a while ago and said, can Donald Trump be held in contempt of court for the outrageous things he has said about the judge in the Trump University lawsuit?
You know, he probably could not, unless the judge makes a ruling that says there's some sort of gag order.
Okay.
And you have seen judges do that, where they're saying, you know, because of the nature of these allegations, we don't want to prejudice a jury pool, and we don't want this case to be tried in the press. We're going to just tell everyone not to talk to the press about these issues. And that's a very common thing for a judge to do in a high-profile case with high-profile.
Right, gag orders we hear about all the time.
I mean, we see it all the time. But since the judge didn't do that, and Trump exercised his First Amendment rights, which he doesn't want other people to exercise necessarily when there are bad things being said, he went off and said what he said. Now, you know, again, I'm going to put politics aside because I don't want to tell anyone who they should vote for, because no one would listen to me anyway. But I just find it interesting that you've got a case worth millions of dollars where your financial well-being is at issue, and you've got a federal judge, by the way, appointed by Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's a Republican.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, initially, and then appointed by Obama to the next court. So this is a guy who's been approved by people from both sides of the fence, and by all accounts, a fabulous jurist and a good guy.
And again, born in Indiana.
And born in Indiana, so, you know, he doesn't even look Mexican, really. Whatever.
He looks like Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
So
you're getting bad rulings in a case, right?
Right.
What do? It's sort of like, Brian, when you go to the barber, the time to get mad at your barber and swear at him is not when he has the scissors in his hand, right?
Right.
Because you want a good haircut. Why would he shoot his mouth off during the time that his case is pending? Does he think he's going to get a better ruling? I mean, the judge is probably going to be even more careful now, to be fair to be unbiased. But that is a real stupid thing to say. And I have to tell you, to me, that doesn't bode well for his temperament. I mean, if you can't hold it together, this is his personal litigation, okay?
Right.
First of all, he shouldn't be commenting on it. He shouldn't be drawing attention to it. Everyone who's in business gets sued. So I'm not saying that his suit is even has merit.
Right.
It may not. But you keep your mouth shut about the ethnicity of the judge and the fact that he's Mexican. You have to presume that he's going to be racist against him. That is such a connection that should not ever be connected.
And can you hold someone in general? Can someone be held in contempt if they're not in court testifying? So if I'm part of a case and I just shoot my mouth off anywhere and it gets reported back to the court, can they hold me in contempt?
Yes, there's different kinds of contempt, and there's direct contempt and indirect contempt. And if you do something outside the courthouse that is in violation of the court's order, that can be indirect contempt.
Okay.
So, yes, it doesn't have to be right in front of the judge. The kind that we usually see in court,
yes,
is when the defendant starts acting up and starts beating on the sheriff or,
I'll hold
or starts
you in
screaming. Then that's indirect contempt because that's in his the judge's presence.
Okay. Now, we'll keep an eye on that because
yes,
he's calling out other judges for their ethnicities as well on other cases.
That's the wrong thing to do. And you know what? I have to say, most judges do a pretty good job of trying to be unbiased and fair and following the rule and following the law. And if Donald Trump is president, okay, and that's a possibility given what's going on, he, as a constitutional officer, has a duty to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't like Roe versus Wade, if he doesn't like gun laws, whatever he doesn't like, if there's a law in place, he is under oath obligated to uphold it.
Right.
Okay? And it's up to the Supreme Court to change the law if we need our law change or Congress, right?
Right.
Those are the branches that do those types of things. He carries out the orders. He's the executive branch. And if he thinks he can get in there and change the law, he's misunderstanding the nature of government.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Or he's just talking.
Very interesting. I think a lot of it. Well, the judge's brother, this was reported on ABC, the judge's brother called him a blowhard.
Yeah. Well, so, and the judge can't speak out.
No.
You know, he's completely.
You wonder if the judge was talking to his brother. Oh, man, this guy. But, you know, again, judges at a federal level, these judges are under such scrutiny. They
get appointed.
Yeah.
They get a senatorial approval. So, I mean, they go under great scrutiny. They have huge background checks. They get to talk to all the senators, and they ask them all these questions. By the time you get to that level, Brian, you have really been vetted, and you are a jurist.
Right.
You have proven success as a judge, and, you know, the idea that he's being disparaged and can't defend himself is wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Doesn't make sense. Now, I'm sure you saw this story the other day about the Cleveland father who attacked his daughter's killer in court. Did you see that? The guy?
I sort of did, yes.
Michael Madsen is the killer. He killed a number of people, but he was being convicted, or he'd been convicted of killing Sherelda Terry. So her dad was giving his victim's impact statement in court, and the guy started smirking at him. So he ran from around the podium, and he dove. And it was he was airborne. He was going at the the killer. Got stopped by sheriffs mid-flight. Anyway, the big tussle. And they were talking about what to do with him, if they were going to charge him. In anybody's right mind, can you see a charge coming against this guy?
You know, the only reason I would say yes, because, of course, all of us, our hearts go out to a dad who's lost a daughter, who's got some jerk smirking at him in court, because that's the only power he ever is going to have the rest of his life. You know, the judge has to maintain decorum in the courtroom because it is a dangerous place.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people there with guns. The sheriffs have guns. And who knows who has what in the courtrooms? I'm not sure. I'm confident in the process of metal detection in courthouses. And I think the judge sort of has to set a precedent. And they put everyone at serious risk. So maybe there might be a charge, and it may be like maybe even just pled down to something like disorderly conduct and misdemeanor, so it won't stay on his record, but at least they make a record that we're not going to tolerate this behavior.
Are you surprised? The thing that surprised me is this doesn't happen all the time. Because I've got to be honest, if I'm giving my victim impact statement and the guy or woman who committed this wrong against me is there smirking,
I remember a case, and I knew the lawyer who was defending him, and I remember the Polly Klaus murders.
Yes.
In California, I want to say Petaluma is the name of the town. She was a little girl, and they took her out of her room at night, and she murdered her, raped her, whatever. And the guy was in court, and he said something to the father like,
I remember this too,
you know, something awful, like the last words she said were, don't do me like my dad. And the father did, you know, it was instinctive. There was no time for him to even think about it. He lunged, you know. I don't think there were charges in that case, but it does happen, though.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. And I think the sheriffs have to be very, very cautious about that, because once they take out their gun, this is a very dangerous place to be.
Yeah, it was, the video was heartbreaking and astonishing at the same time, because this another inch. If the sheriff had, had missed his, he grabbed him by the foot as he went over the table. If the sheriff had missed, he would have been on him.
You know, let me just say one more thing, Brian. I was in court last week, and it was paternity court, so people weren't married, and they had family issues. And there was a scuffle, and it got into a real scuffle, and about 10 sheriffs ran and had to tackle these people. You know, I tell my clients all the time, just because we're in a courthouse that looks very civil and very, you know, ornate or whatever, it doesn't mean that it's not safe. And people have umbrellas, and people have paper clips, and people have pencils, and people are on edge.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not a safe place.
So keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Just like when you're in the yard and the joint. That's how I got by. Karen Conti is here. She's giving legal counsel to me. She's giving legal counsel to you. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. We've got some texts coming in. We'll get to those. Some calls are coming in. So Karen will answer your legal question. But Karen, you know, even though you took a week off, people will wait. And then they'll be upset because we're done and we go home. And they'll say, how do I get a hold of Karen during the week?
And this is how you get a hold of me. 312-332-7800, 332-7800, or you can email me at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
More with Karen on the other side. It's WGN. Weekday mornings at 4 to 10. It has everything you need to know, some things you just need to see. It is WGN-TV Morning News, and it is Chicago's must-watch morning news. Karen Conti's here. She's answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200 is how you get those questions answered. Like Carlos, he's in Humboldt Park. Hi, Carlos. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. My question to you, Karen, is, and thank you for answering my question, is I had a child support issue. I ended up...
Carlos, we're...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I ended up...
All right, Carlos, you know, I'm going to put you on hold. Cody, see if you can get Carlos back. He's either distracted or he can't hear us, and maybe he'll need to call back. Something about child support, but we'll get that. Here's a text question that came in a little bit ago. If a good Samaritan stops to warn traffic of an impending road hazard but then leaves the scene, could he be negligent if an accident occurs? I stopped to warn traffic about a stalled car and felt like if I left, I could be liable.
No, you wouldn't be. And how the analysis goes is this. It's negligence is what we're talking about. And the question is, you know, is there a duty? Did you violate the duty? And would there be damages resulting from the breach of that duty? So we just start with the issue of, do you as a person driving down the road have a duty to stop and warn others? You really don't.
No.
If you're a police officer, you might.
Okay.
If you're a parent, you might have a duty to make sure that your child is safe. But just an average person on the road does not have a duty to make sure other people are safe, which is kind of goes against maybe your morality a little bit, but that's how the law looks at it. So, and again, I think what she's probably thinking is maybe once I take on that responsibility, do I then
How long do I have to be there?
And I still don't think in that situation she would have liability. There are situations where maybe you start doing life-saving techniques on someone,
right,
and then you do it negligently, and then there might be liability unless there's some law that stands in the way of Good Samaritan law. But here, I just don't see any liability.
Okay, I think we have Carlos back. Let's try him again.
All right.
Carlos, you there?
Yes. My question is, I fell behind. I have to admit, I'm a little bad that fell behind on some child support, and the state of Illinois suspended all of my licensing, including my canine handler's card, my driver's license, my PERC card, private detective, stuff like that, so I could do security or drive in the state of Illinois. And I even did a little bit of time in the Cook County Jail, unfortunately, for being behind on child support. All I wanted to know was, how can I get all my licensing back in order to go back to work and, you know, start my career over again?
Carlos, I'm going to give some advice to other people out there as well as you. You know, you can't really try not to let it get to that point, because it must be that it happened for a while, because they don't really do all that stuff unless you've owed a lot of money for a long period of time.
Correct. Yeah, I have to admit, I did drag it out.
Yes, and sometimes that happens where you just ignore it and you think it's going to go away, but then it doesn't, and it really bites you because you can't even pay it back if you're not working. That's the whole problem with this. You know, how are you ever never going to pay it back if you can't pursue your livelihood. So what you do is you go into the department there, the exact name of it, it's Health and Something Services, and you would have to come up with a plan for them on how you're going to repay it. And you give them a plan. You maybe borrow some money from someone on a credit card or whatever and make a nice down payment, a couple $1,000 or something toward that arrearage is what we call the money owed. And then you tell them what your plan is going to be, and then you execute on the plan. And if they like the plan and they agree that it's in the best interest of the family that this happens, then they can actually reinstate your driver's license. Okay? So there's two different parts of this. There's the courthouse part that can throw you in jail and enforce child support, but then there's the human services aspect who can take away driving privileges and other licenses. Okay. So if you want to start, you know, if it's possible, how much do you owe, Carlos? Can you tell me how
much? It's okay. it's pretty bad. It's in the five digits.
Okay.
And the reason is because I was making really, really good money at one job at one point, and then when I got put on child support, I was in the middle of going to a different job that didn't pay as much.
Yes, so and you didn't reduce it.
To roll over on me. Exactly.
Okay. So you didn't reduce it, and that's another thing. If you have a child support order, it's an order until and unless you have another order.
Right.
So the court doesn't know what you're making and doesn't know that you got fired, doesn't know that you got a reduction in pay, so you have to go in and do that yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck for it. So
exactly.
I would see if you can borrow some money, do whatever you can, get it on a credit card, and see if you can make a big payment and get your stuff reinstated. Good luck. Good luck to you, Carlos.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, right, bye-bye.
Good luck. Now, listen, if you have an order for child support, you got to pay that. No question about that. It seems counterintuitive then if you get behind or if, and you said it has, you have to be way behind before they start taking your license and stuff, right?
Just time goes by, and sometimes your ex-spouse can probably go and report you to have that done.
But to put you in jail and to take away your means of making a living seems counterintuitive.
Well, it does, but I'm telling you this. When a judge says, a judge doesn't do, like, go to jail right away.
Right.
The judge will say, all right, you're behind. Come back. Pay it next time. Okay, did you pay it? No, you didn't pay it. Okay, well, I'm going to give you 20 days. In 20 days, you're going to pay it, or you bring your toothbrush, and you're going to be, I'm going to send you to the Cook County lockup for a period of as much time as it takes for you to pay it. It is amazing how many people come up with the money. They do. They borrow it. They figure it out. They sell something. You know, and I have to say, I don't like when people get thrown in jail. I think that's terrible. But I also think when you have someone who's supporting children, they have to come
pay.
Up with the money. They are feeding their children. There's no excuse,
right?
You know, when the food needs to be on the table and the kids' school needs to be paid for. So, you know, you have to make an effort to try to pay. And if you can't pay all of it, pay some of it.
Right.
Because you don't show disrespect to the court by saying, I'm not paying anything, and yet you're out, you know, going out to dinner
whatever,
or buying stuff at Target. So, you know, the judge is going to scrutinize your every single expenditure if you're not paying your child support. Yeah,
you got to pay. And so it does work. Are there a lot of people who end up actually having to do time because they didn't pay?
Every day in the courthouse I see someone taken away.
And,
yes.
But do they end up staying or do they find... More often than not, do you see the money come up or do you see them stay in jail?
I'd say more often than not, you see the money come up or some of the money come up. Okay. Some grandmother comes with the cash.
Enough to make the judge say, all right, we're on the right track.
Right. And there's a lot of hard luck stories, too, because let's just say there's a lot of people out there who've done jail time. Maybe they're a felon.
Yeah.
And they have a child out of wedlock and they can't pay and they don't have a job and they have a hard time getting a job. Maybe they didn't even graduate from high school. It's not easy. And I'm not saying that I have no sympathy. It's just the whole thing is just bad.
Yeah, the whole
it's
situation.
Bad for everyone. You know, there's no one who wins in that process.
Well, a lot of people have legal questions, so get them in now. 312-981-7200. Karen Conti is here as she is every Sunday night, unless she's in Nashville hobnobbing with country stars. She's going to answer your question, but people will want to know how to get a hold of you, say, on a random Tuesday. How would they do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
News next on WGN. Sunday nights means Brian Noonan, Karen Conti. Karen answers your legal questions. I push the buttons. That's how it works. 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question, get them in as soon as possible so we can get them answered. All right, as usually happens, you answer one question about any topic, And suddenly we have a couple follow-ups on that. So let's go to Lisa, who is in Will County, and she has a child support question as well. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thanks.
Well, I could tell you I'm not as happy as I would like to be. Question, I have a court order. My ex was paying child support up until 16 months ago. He owes over $16,000.
Wow.
So he wasn't allowed to see the children because of his violent nature. He's in the past, orders of protection for 5 years, if you can get the drift. What's your opinion on this? Do I go after him for the child support? My children are terrified of him. They're 15 and 16 years old. They do not want to be around him. And we also have in the court order supervised visitations only, but he tried to attack my daughter. When you're dealing with somebody with this type, with this nature of a personality, is it better just, and he hasn't paid me.
Let me ask
in
you
my
this.
Heart, I'm terrified. I'm terrified to take him back to
well,
court.
Well, and this is the position that I see a lot of people in because they need the money. They want the money. The money is needs, you know, you need it for your kids. Your kids need
yes,
it.
Yes, ma'am. I'm losing my house over this.
And but on the other hand, you feel like you're going to stoke the fire with him because you feel like he's an angry person to begin with. And once you start holding him in contempt and throwing him in jail, he's not going to react well. The problem is he's going to not react well anyway. I think the key question for me to you, Lisa, is does he have the money to pay? Does he have a job that's steady?
Yes. He's retired with a pension of $5,000 a month.
Okay, and has a lawyer been able to tap into that or to put some sort of withholding order on that?
That's just it. I haven't gone back to court for the child support because we really truly are afraid of him, and my kids are at peace right now. But at the same time, financially, the biggest struggle of my life, I mean, like in 4 months, we can lose our home. But at the same time, he'll counter this and say, he texted me and said, when I get to see my kids is when you'll get your money.
Well,
and kids are afraid.
Well, okay, first of all, that one has nothing to do with the other. You can't withhold visitation, and he can't withhold money based upon the other thing. So that's irrelevant. That's his threat, and obviously...
Two separate issues. Know.
And let me tell you this. Your children are 15 and 16. I don't think there's a court in the world who's going to force the issue of visitation, especially when you've had orders of protection, especially when he's got an order of supervised visitation, which he doesn't want to do. He's not going to pay someone to sit and supervise while he watches his kids in a room somewhere. He's not going to do that. So is he really, truly going to try to get visitation? I don't think so. I mean, again, you know him better than I do, and you know what triggers him.
The reason why I'm wondering what your opinion was, because he dragged the divorce out for 5 years in the court system.
Yep.
And it drained us. It was our college funds. It was everything.
Yep. I hear you. I've seen this situation play out. Will County, I just tried a case out there for 5 weeks on a very difficult matter that had some of those issues. And I have to say it's going to be a judgment call for you. And, you know, maybe you can get the state's attorney out there to do it for no charge. I don't know if they have that service out in Will County and Cook County. You can get a state's attorney to do it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about getting the money back. I'm just afraid of the outcome
right, of
the kids getting supervised. They don't want any visitation. And I'm wondering what your idea is with this, if you heard cases like this.
I have, and I just don't think a judge is going to order a 15- and 16-year-old to do something they don't want to do. If they're 10 and 11, yes, the judge can force the issue, but not after all this. I just really don't think so. And I could be wrong.
Do you think he's still entitled to pay the money even though they don't want to see him, or do you
absolutely think
I'm being unfair?
No. No, child support gets paid until 18 until graduation from high school, whichever is later. So there's no defense to say you're not seeing the kids. That's not how it works. So with court orders in place until it's not, and you have an absolute right to get the money. And if I were you, I might consider going and getting it and just being very, very careful.
Oh, we're careful every day. He stalks us. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Lisa.
Thank you so much for this positive feedback. Thank you.
Good luck, Lisa.
Yeah.
Take care.
That's just it's a sad situation. You can't control other people either. You know, people like Lisa think maybe if I don't bother him, he won't bother us. But these people, I had a case.
Well, they count on that kind of stuff,
I had a case where a woman was divorced 10 years. 10 years she didn't see her ex at all. He was very violent,
very violent.
And one day she's walking from her garage to her home after church, and he takes a machete and almost cuts her head off.
Oh, my God.
She almost died.
After 10 years.
Yes. Completely. He was sitting in the garage drinking all morning while they were in church, and if it weren't for her big strapping son who punched him out, he's now in jail for 30 years for attempted murder. So again, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but
right.
but these are people that are unpredictable, and whatever you do, it's probably not going to matter.
Right. They're going to be angry. They're going to be twisted,
right.
No matter what.
Right.
If you ignore them, if you go after them. Now, you mentioned about Lisa said that her ex is on a pension, so he's getting this check. I know they can put whatever the term is, work
like
they can take.
Yeah. Order of some type. It all depends what kind of pension. I mean, I would have to know a little bit more about mm-hmm. it and how it comes to him. If it comes to him, you know, every month, is it in a fund? Is it, you know, and that would be something that would really be nice, because then it would be an automatic deduction.
Yeah.
She would have to have no further interaction with him.
But there should be some way for her to get
yes.
that money.
Yes.
And without having, in a case like this where there's been obvious troubles in the past, do you have to sit in court across from somebody when you're doing this, or can her attorney go and talk to the judge with his attorney, and they don't have to face each other, or do they have to face each other?
You don't always have to. I mean, you have to go to court on certain occasions, but not every single time. So your lawyer can file stuff and go to court and ask the judge for things without you being there. At some point, you might have to be there to testify about it.
Okay.
In which case, you're going to be in a courtroom with him.
Yeah.
But and the courts aren't very good at separating parties like this. So
yeah.
it becomes a very, you know, difficult thing. Sometimes they have advocates that will kind of sit with you and hold,
right.
you know. But again, courthouses are dangerous places.
Yeah, as we've talked about before.
Yeah. So,
312-981-7200. Karen Conti's here taking your legal questions. Gerald's got one. He's in Crown Point. Hi, Gerald. Welcome to WGN.
Hello.
What's your question for Karen, Gerald?
Okay, my question is this. I'm getting bill collector calls for someone with the same first name, the same last name, but a different middle initial and a different Social Security number. It's for just under $300, and it's coming from about six or seven different individuals at all times of the day or night. And there's no supervisor or anything that I can talk to. These are just private people that do this as a business out of their home. I'm getting concerned. Our credit rating is over 850 for myself and my wife, and I don't want it to be messed up.
You don't think someone stole your identity? That you think this is just a mistake, correct?
That is correct. It's
okay.
So,
Gerald, here's what you need to do. I know that, you know, you sound like a person who picks up the phone and tries to take care of things. Well, that doesn't work in these situations. Bill collectors have thousands of people who they make these calls for routinely. So they don't even know who you are. They don't care about it. They've got these little tiny amounts of money that if they collect all of them, they make decent money. But they don't care about you. So what you need to do is you need to write a letter, and you need to have your Social Security, picture of your Social Security card, a picture of your birth certificate saying you have the wrong person. And I would say to them, I'm going to give you chance, you know, to look at this and read this, and if you proceed in doing so, I can take action against you. And there are certain rules about Fair Debt Collect Practices Act. I don't know, as I sit here, if you would have a case against them. But once they know that they have the wrong person, you know, that then they really legally can't continue to harass you. But you need to put it in writing to each and every bill collector. You need to keep copies of the documents, and you need to just follow up in writing. Okay.
That sounds good, but all they say is, hi, this is Marilyn, and I want to talk to you about this bill. And they have no address. They won't tell you their address. And most of the time, their phone number is even blocked.
Do they tell you what company they're calling about?
No. They won't say what it is.
Sounds like it might be a scam.
That might be a scam.
Yeah, well...
Because usually, I mean, if you want to collect a debt, usually people want to know what the debt is and where
right.
you incurred it and what's the proof of it. And normally,
plus you get a letter
writing.
From somebody,
usually
you
in
know.
Writing. Yeah.
No letter, nothing in writing. It's just phone calls from about five or six people, Florida, Texas, all over the country.
That sounds like a scam.
Yeah, that's, if they won't tell you who they're trying to collect the debt for, they just want your credit card.
Yeah, invite them. I wouldn't invite them to do anything. I don't know. Certainly you're not going to give them any information over the phone because maybe that's what they're looking for. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I would just press them. I mean, I would just press them. Who are you trying to collect this debt for? Who says I owe them money?
Yeah.
If they won't tell you, then that's a red flag.
Yep. Good luck. Good luck to you, Gerald.
Good luck, Gerald. Hope it works out. But, yeah, that sounds – because, listen, a lot of people have owed money in the past. They know usually you'll get a letter or you'll get a call and say, we're trying to, you know, you owe
Macy's.
Yeah, whoever. Whatever. You know, you're late on your payment or you, but they tell you who's collect.
Yep.
You know, no, I just want money. Oh, you do? Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. All right. You know what else doesn't make sense? The time goes so fast. But we still have another couple minutes. So 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question for Karen Conti, you need to get it in ASAP. If people don't get in now, how do they get a hold of you during the week?
You can email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com or call me at 312-332-7800.
All right. Get your legal questions in now on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti is here as she is every Sunday night, and she is helping you out of your legal jams at 312-981-7200. Let's get right to the phones. We go to Aurora. That's where Jim is standing by. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. What's your question for Karen?
Back in November of 2015, I had a stroke while at the VA clinic in North Aurora. They called the ambulance from North Aurora, shipped me to the local hospital. The VA paid part of the bill. They're now after me for over $800 for a half a mile ambulance ride.
That's
I'm wondering, am I due to pay that?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people make these calls to me, and it never ceases to amaze me how expensive it is and why. Why? And you don't have a choice. It's not
right.
Like you can say, you know, when you're sick, you know, I don't really want to do this. I'll do Uber.
Right.
But, you know, generally speaking, you do have to pay. I mean, maybe what you can try to do is call them up and negotiate it down and tell them that you're a veteran and that you're, you know, whatever your situation is, and that's just a huge amount of money, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, see, they're double what Aurora is.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Aurora's $400 to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah.
North Aurora's $800.
I mean, I do understand they're providing you some security services. I mean, you know, I imagine that if you had some issues, they would respond to it. But that still seems very, very high. But I guess nothing surprises me in this day and age of hospitals and expenses. So I would say just try to call them and talk to them and try to see if you can negotiate it down. That's the best idea.
Well, see, they've turned it over to a collection agency now.
Well, now it's going to be harder to deal with that. Because once it's turned over, you're not going to really be able to negotiate directly with the provider. You know, I don't know what to say. Are they going to sue you over $800? I don't know if they are. Maybe you wait and see. Or you pay it over time.
You work something out with the
collection. It depends, you know, what your situation is, if you care about your credit. But, you know, $800, that's not enough to ruin your credit. On the other hand, are they going to really sue you? I don't know the answer to that.
All right. Well, good luck, Jim.
Good luck.
That's a horrible situation.
That is horrible.
Yeah, and it seemed... Well, you know, we could go on and on about healthcare costs for, you know, a short ambulance ride. Yes, it's a life-saving service. $800 just seems like a lot. And that's his share is $800.
Right.
So the total was a lot more than $800 if the VA paid for part of it.
I guess what I would say is,
why wouldn't the VA just pay for the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe he should talk to, I should have said this, maybe talk to the VA and talk to maybe a veterans group about how to get this done. And the problem is when you wait and then it goes to the collection agency, it's sort of out of their hands because they've already sold their
they've written it off.
So you can't really deal with the provider who might have a conscience. These bill collectors just don't. So, you know.
They gets to make the money.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in after we were talking about sending letters. We were talking to the guy in Indiana about sending letters. send everything certified mail. Would that be the correct thing? If you're sending a letter about a legal matter, should you send it certified mail so that you know somebody gets it?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do. Sometimes if you're depending on who you're sending it to, a lot of people don't pick those up.
Ah.
You know, and sometimes if you really want to make sure that you can prove that the person got it, I just do a quick FedEx.
Okay.
You know, even though it's expensive, because I get the return receipt and I know that for sure it was picked
up. Somebody's gotten it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that makes sense. I don't know if you saw anything about this law. Now, you are a responsible human being. You probably always were a responsible human being.
Yep,
I, on the other hand, and many of us, maybe not so responsible. So there was a time back in college that perhaps it was late at night. I'd enjoyed a couple of beverages. I was not driving, but I was hungry. So I would try to walk through a drive-thru at one of the major fast food places. Well, McDonald's is now being sued because blind people are saying that the rule that you cannot walk through a drive-thru after the store itself has closed is discriminatory against people who cannot drive for whatever reason.
Interesting.
And McDonald's is saying, well, it's a safety concern. We don't want, you know, people to do that. But it seems like one of those, like, I never understood why you couldn't do it. I mean, I guess the safety thing. But if you're standing there, a car, they're all well lit. It's not like, you know, a drive-thru at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever is in a dark little place where a car's not going to see you. But so there.
You know, I represented somebody who went through the Taco Bell at like 2 o'clock in the morning. He had a few issues, but and he was getting a little belligerent, and we talked it down to a to misdemeanor.
Was he walking or driving?
He was walking. Yeah,
okay.
he was walking, and you know, I always wonder why that rule was enforced, but I guess it is kind of scary to people for people to be tapping on the windows. I don't know. That's a really interesting lawsuit, though, because it does discriminate. If someone gets the munchies at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the only thing that's open is the drive-through, and you're blind and you don't have a car.
He's saying that this 35-year-old Louisiana man is saying that it is a violation of the American with Disabilities Act.
Very interesting. So the American with Disabilities Act says that if you have a legitimate disability, which being blind is definitely such under the law, there has to be reasonable accommodation. So the question is, what would the reasonable accommodation be? Would that mean that you'd have to prove that you were blind? Would that mean that you could tap on the window? Would that mean you call ahead? Maybe there is some other way that they could accommodate other than just open the drive-through to everyone who walks.
Well, the man's New Orleans-based attorney. So you know this guy's fun. He said that McDonald's, and I would guess then other chains would follow, could fix the problem by installing a phone that allows customers with disabilities to call in their orders from outside the restaurant, and then orders could be brought out to the customers.
Sure, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, or have a separate, another window. Now, of course, places are going to go, well, we can't afford that, because once we lock up, we don't want the employees opening the door because... Which makes sense.
Right.
You don't know who's out there.
And this isn't meant to be funny, but I was in McDonald's one day, and I saw something that said, if you need a blind menu in Braille, please let us know. And I'm thinking, who sees this?
Right. If you need
you're
not going to see the
sign. I guess if my friend is blind, I could turn him on to the Braille menu, but I just thought that was really strange.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that fulfills some sort of legal question that they've got going on.
As much as people find these things a little ridiculous, you know, when you're blind or if you're disabled in a wheelchair or you're, these things are really, they really matter to you.
Oh, yeah.
You
if
know,
you can't get into a place because they're not accommodating to
ramps and issues like that, you think, oh, so what? That, you know, there's a way around that. No, there are not ways around it. And it makes life very difficult for people who have difficulty to begin with.
Right.
I mean, just getting out of bed and getting your life together when you have these kind of disabilities is very, very daunting. And to you know, have companies not accommodate, you know, I understand why they're bringing these suits.
Yeah, that's like ramps and bathrooms and stuff people immediately think of. But something like this you don't think about because most of us are asleep at 3 in the morning.
Right.
We're not trying to go through McDonald's drive-thru or Burger King or whatever. I haven't seen you since Drew Peterson was convicted of trying to his murder-for-hire plot. What did you make of all that?
You know, I find it interesting that Drew Peterson, the Illinois Supreme Court took his appeal, and I think it's about 60% of all cases that they take that are criminal in nature, they overturn. So he's got a decent chance of having his conviction for Savio overturned, and look at what he does here. I mean, you know, and you're talking to a guy named Beast, right? you're threatening.
Well, if you can't trust a guy named Beast in a joint, who can you trust?
And the reasons he gave for trying to kill the state's attorney is like, oh, he was getting in the way of my appeal. I didn't like the way that what happened to my son and his job. Like, things that are completely irrelevant. You know, for a smart guy, what is the disconnect here?
Maybe he's not that smart.
I just think that he thinks he's smarter than everyone and that he's arrogant and he talks before he thinks. And who would ever do what he did?
It makes no
sense.
But
the jury, I mean, even though he was a jailhouse snitch, even though Beast didn't seem to me to be the character to be believed,
no.
it was all on wire.
Yes, that's the thing.
And just because Drew didn't say the words, I want to kill the state's attorney, they were talking in their jail slang,
right?
You know, being big shots.
Everybody who's ever seen a prison movie knew what they were talking about.
Absolutely, and this one's going to stick. What's the appeal going to be?
Yeah.
You know, he's in.
And so do you think that will have, because he can still appeal the other case, right?
He's still going to appeal that.
But will this most recent conviction have any effect on that, or do they? I mean, I know we're supposed
really.
To try to keep everything separate.
No, and the Supreme Court, when you get up into that level, they're really not as political as, I mean, they're really not political anyway, judges are not. But when you get to that level, they're looking at issues. They're looking at not who Drew Peterson is and what a jerk he is. They're looking at that hearsay issue.
Okay.
And should we set a precedent with this bad case that we're going to have people convicted on hearsay, because that's troublesome to a lot of lawyers and a lot of judges.
Right.
But again, this secures him in being in jail. And I don't think they're going to bring a case for Stacey, even though he apparently confessed to Beast that he killed Stacey. I just think that, you know, there's limited resources in the prosecutor's office. And, you know, if he's in jail for good, I don't think anyone cares if we get another conviction.
Yeah. And you say he's in for this.
He's
not coming out.
You know, he gets up to 60 years. If the judge doesn't whack him for a full 60, I'd be surprised.
All right. Thank you, as always. Time has flown. But how do people get a hold of you during the week?
You can call me at 312-332-7000. 7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
And you'll be on with Steve Cochran at Wednesday morning at 6:40, correct?
That's right.
All right, we'll do that. We'll see you next week,
and
we'll come back and say goodbye after this on WGN. All right, thanks for listening and being part of the program. We will talk to you again next week. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news, so stay tuned for that. And don't forget to check out our web-exclusive podcast that we will be recording momentarily. It is always a hoot. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 9 o'clock, and as he has done a stellar job all night, he'll do it again. It's Roger Badish.